you for listening in on Tent of Testimonies podcast. This is the official podcast of the Tent of Testimonies International under the leadership of Prophet Dr. Fred Akama and Senior Pastor Maureen Akama. As you listen to this and other amazing sound biblical teachings, our aim is to equip you with the Word of God so that you can grow into an effective believer. In today's podcast, we do believe that you will be imparted with the knowledge of God, spiritual truths, and kingdom principles that will positively affect your spiritual life. Be blessed as you listen, and may you come back with a great testimony.
The Bible, I want us to read a little bit. I want us to read a little bit in what is our theme today? What does it mean to graft? What does it mean to graft? All right. Galatians 3:13. We can start and then we'll catch along with that one. Give me Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. What does the Bible say? Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon who? In Christ Jesus. So that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right? So this will be the basis of our scripture, where Bible says that Christ became a curse, so that he redeemed us from the curse of law, that we might get the blessing that is coming upon the Gentiles. For those of us who are farmers, you understand what grafting is. Cindy, I think we do a lot of grafting nowadays. It's more than what has been happening before. For example, let's say if this was a mango tree. This one. This was a mango tree, and let's say maybe it was the local Kenyan mango tree, and you want to produce a variety or a species that will be stronger and will be able to resist diseases and will be able to resist the harsh climate. So you can find some of the branches can be removed from the main tree or from other branches. A part of it is cut, and then another stem is picked and then put here. And at times they tie it and then they give it time to grow. If I may explain in the simplest way, okay? So whatever you have put together on this tree will now start growing and will be getting its nourishment from the roots of the tree where it's been grafted. Are we together? It will get its nourishment. And then from there, it will grow. And as it grows, it will have characteristics of the tree that it was joined to. Are we together? And you will find there are a lot of farmers, whether tomatoes, mangoes, at times fruits, at times vegetables, at times, you know, a lot of them are grafted to produce a stronger species, a species that is able to adapt to the current weather conditions, and it's able to adapt. So they do this so that they create a stronger version. Is that okay? Is that okay? We all know the story of the children of Israel, how God called Abraham, how God told Abraham, I will make your people to be so many, and how they became the people of the promise, and how God gave their blessing to Abraham and his people were to inherit. Siapo tuko pamoja? So the Bible says in Galatians, this blessing that is upon or was upon the life of Abraham was to come to the Gentiles. But the condition was in Christ Jesus. So as it comes upon the Gentiles, it is by faith. It is by faith that God accepts us to be his children when we accept Christ Jesus in our lives. It is by faith, because the Bible says this is the promise. So the promise of the blessing comes to our lives by faith. Are we together? I want us to go to Romans 11. We'll read and we can expound. Give me Romans 11, where it talks about the olive tree. 16, 17, somewhere there. Please go to 16. Can we read together? What does the Bible say? Next. Okay, switch to NIV today. Switch to NIV. It has broken it down a little bit, and then we can read that one. Mm-hmm. What does the Bible say? Mm-hmm. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. Okay, so let me give a summary of what Romans chapter 11 is saying. So when you begin Romans 11 from Apogee, he says that God did not reject his people. He did not reject his people. Even a time came when Elijah said, but God, there is only one of me that is left, when he went into hiding, when his life was being threatened. And God told him, I still have people who have not bowed down and worshipped another god. So God reminded Ahab that God reminded Elijah that I have people who have not bowed to Baal and worshipped him. Yeah? And then the Bible says that, let me go to 11. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? And God says that there is a remnant, even in Israel, that has been chosen by grace. Bwana sifiwe. Why do we have a remnant? Because out of this remnant, there is a group that fell because of unbelief. The Bible says that when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, some of them suffered from unbelief. And they could not get into the promised land. They failed to see the promise of the land of milk and honey because in their hearts they failed. They had disbelief. But God said there were those who were remnants and they had been kept because of grace. Are we together? That's what the Bible says in verse 5. So he says, if you're going to talk about if these people were kept by grace, it is not because of the law. Because grace and the law are two different things. Okay? It's either you're governed or under the grace of God, or it is the law. So he says, did these people stumble to fall beyond recovery? Then he says, no. Rather, because of their transgression. And because of this, the transgression was unbelief. Because of this, it says, God also had salvation came to mankind and it came to the Gentiles. So as much as the Israel was in the fallen state, God had shown salvation to the Gentiles. And the Bible says, how much more if these Israelites, so many of them, were under grace. I want to summarize in so many so that we get it. Salvation came to the Gentiles to make in Israel envious. Put 12. But if their transgression means riches for the world and their loss means riches for Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? Fullness bring, meaning them being aligned to what God was saying at that time and becoming a remnant for what God was speaking at that time. Are we together? Are we together? And so he says that even in their rejection, there came reconciliation. So this is how the Gentiles came. Because of sin, Jesus came into the world and died for us. So the Gentiles have access. Everyone has access to God. Are we together? So the Bible uses an analogy and it says, if there are some branches that were cut off or they were broken, and you, though a wild olive shoot, when it says though a wild olive shoot, so it means not of the Jewish tribe or not of the Israelite tribe. They were a different people. So it says, what about this wild olive shoot have been grafted among others and they share in the nourishing sap of the olive oil? So the Bible says, because of the Israelites' transgression, there's a place they missed. But in all this, God had a remnant that had been kept by grace to inherit. That's why you find right now in Israel, there are people who are born again, there are people who are not born again. Not all Israelites are born again, okay? Some have come to experience the saving grace of God. Some have not experienced yet the saving grace of God. So the Bible says, those who have come to be grafted, we are grafted. We have been planted together. It means you have been pulled from whatever roots you had. When you graft, when I said you graft a tree, you cut a part, you pick that stem, you go attach it to another tree and let it grow. So we have been pulled from different roots where we come from. Is it traditions, your family generations, stuff like that? So the Bible says you have been pulled from there. And then you have been grafted in Christ. You have been pulled, that's why they consider like a Gentiles. You have been pulled from not knowing the saving grace of Jesus Christ to a place where you get to know God. And the Bible says, once you're pulled from your roots, you're cut. The Bible says, when it says grafted, it means there's a part you're cut, and then you're planted into Christ. The Bible says you begin getting nourishment. Say nourishment. And you begin growing. So literally, you and I, where we are coming from in our walk with God, we have been granted. We have been grafted, sorry. We have been planted in Christ Jesus, who has our foundation and roots for us to grow. So, if you are grafted, like I said, most of the time we graft to get a high quality seed or a seed that is resistant to harsh weather, drought, and stuff like that. So when you have been cut, grafted, put here, the expectation is as you feed from the roots, you are able to resist what comes with the environment. If it's a harsh environment, if it is not so good, you know, weather conditions and situations, because the Bible says that we have been attached and we are getting our nourishment from the roots, we are able to thrive, we are able to stand because of that factor. Am I making sense? And so, there is a group of believers who say, once you get born again, old is gone, new has come. Whatever was your past, God has erased, and now you are ready to go forward. So they say, some even get to levels where they say you may not need deliverance or stuff like this because you're a new creature. Yeah? But also, when you become grafted into this, you have to begin growing in this planting where you've been planted. So the more you grow, the more you develop roots. Are we together? When you're born again, it's your spirit that gets born again. It's not your soul. So, the soul takes time to adjust and catch up with what God is saying. The soul takes time to learn of the things of God by the quickening of the spirit so that it stops doing some things and it is aligned to doing some things. Are we together? Are we together? So, the plant or the grafted stem or the grafted branch is able to feed. And God says in his word, when you read somewhere down there, he says, even the branches that were already cut off, this represents the children of Israel in this analogy, these branches that were cut off can be grafted back again. All right? So the Bible still says there's still salvation even for the children of Israel. Think about it. If the branch was cut off, what happens? What happens? It dries. There's no life. Sindio. So God is saying, even with that lot that was already cut off, God says in his word, they can still be grafted back in that dead state and it gets life and begins functioning. That is why the Bible says, after all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily would this, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? When the Bible says somewhere down there, it says this is a mystery. A mystery is something that cannot be explained. You can't explain physically how it came to be, but it is there. Are we together? So the Bible says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, the mystery of grafting, the mystery of those who are not of the children of Israel descent, coming to the knowledge of salvation and God planting us in him. It is a mystery that God is able to remove you from your generation to make you a new man, plant you in himself, and then you begin producing fruit that is not of where you came from, but of where. Am I making sense? It is a mystery. Because naturally and ideally, you're supposed to produce or show or behave like where you're coming from. Naturally, this is what you're supposed to do. But the Bible says that it is a mystery when he cuts us off from that generation, when he separates us from that generation, grafts us in Christ Jesus, in himself, when we are nourished by the roots of the tree, we begin bearing fruits of God. Am I making sense? So it says Israel has experienced hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. So it is a mystery how the children of Israel fell, and God used this opportunity by Jesus Christ coming and bringing all of us into the fold by the virtue of salvation so that we get to know Jesus. On the basis of this scripture alone, you can stand and tell God, what I see in my life may not be what I am feeding from the roots. What I see in my life might be sickness, but where I am grafted. Because once you're grafted, you begin growing. Your growth is determined by how much the roots are able to pick the nutrients from the plant. Are we together? Our nourishment comes from the Spirit of God. So your growth is determined by the Holy Spirit because you have been grafted into it. If I do not see what God is speaking or what the Bible says concerning different situations in my life, I can go back and tell God, this is what the Bible says, but this is not what I am producing. Make a difference. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the mystery is also when you read the book of Ezekiel, I think it's 37, where Ezekiel is asked, son of man, can these bones come back to life? And then he says, only you, God, knows. We are talking about bones, not just something that has just died. We are talking about something that died, rot, there is no life in it. And then God asks, can this thing come back to life? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was looking at the clip the other day. You saw when Apostle Suleiman was raising the small boy who was completely gone, no life in him, no nothing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about now a situation where it's bones. And the Bible says, son of man, can these bones live again? Something that is dried, something that is wasted, something that has zero evidence of what was there. And God says, can this situation come back to life? And Ezekiel says, only you, God, knows. Then God goes ahead and tells him to speak and prophesy to the dry bones. And then the Bible says somewhere down there when Ezekiel started speaking and prophesying and declaring that the bones began coming together. And then there was a noise, a rattling sound. So the Bible says bone upon bone came together. The Bible says that then flesh came. And then the Bible says, and then skin covered them. So this is a situation where the person was completely wasted. Sindio? So God is telling us this morning, is there a situation where you feel is completely gone, do you think it can actually come back to life? And God expects you to answer. Why do you have to answer? Because you have to be in agreement with him for him to do something. Are we together? He expects you to answer. He expects you to tell him only you, God, can heal. Only you, God, can restore. Only you, God, can do something. And this is what God was putting in my heart. That in this dispensation, where God is doing so much, spiritually speaking, in our lives, and the portals are open, you can trust God for that situation that has been dead for a long time. You can trust God for that issue that you have prayed for a very long time. Because he says, even if it is bones, even if it is a gone case, even if it looks like something that cannot be salvaged, but the Lord God is able to bring back to life. He's able to cause bone upon bone to come. He's able to cause the flesh to clothe itself. He's able to cause the skin to take form so that God can do this. And we stand on the basis that We are grafted in Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, I have learned it's not enough to want something from God. You need to understand, why do you need it from God? Why should God give you? So you present your case before God and tell God, this is the situation. This is my contract. It is being sabotaged. But what does the Bible say? This is the sickness that has been haunting me for a long time. You present it and you tell God, but I am granted, I'm grafted, I am planted in you. And the fruit, because I'm being nourished by your spirit, I cannot give birth to dead things. I cannot give birth to dead projects. It is not in you. Remember when you're grafted, now you come to a place where you have the DNA of God. That's why the Bible says that the blood of Jesus cleanses us and makes us whole. So your DNA may not necessarily be your blood. Physically, it could be your blood. But the blood of Jesus is in you. Our fathers taught us, and he has said, the Bible says that Jesus lives to make intercession for us to the Father. So who makes intercession for you? Who prays to the Father for you? That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. So if Jesus is living to make intercession for me, it is Jesus who is presenting my case before God. As I go before God, the God sees the Son, and he remembers that this Son died for this situation, so he cannot stand. Are we together? This, you are planted in him. So even when I am praying in the name of Jesus. When I make my requests known to God, and I go before God and pray, the Bible says, Jesus appears before the Father. He makes intercession for me. Bible says he is groaning in words that cannot be comprehended. When you are grafted in God, you begin giving forth, you begin producing what is the characteristic and the features of the kingdom of God. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So, I want to challenge us today. When you're born again, you have come to the knowledge of God. You are planted in him. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible says, Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Spirit of God gives us what to pray for, prays through us. So I came to remind us today, we are grafted in God. And upon the understanding that we are not of our own, you can be able to claim that which you want to see in your life because you have a right. You've seen the plants that have been grafted. They're different from the original plant. No one advises it. It just grows. Yeah? I'm sure there's a scientific way of explaining it. I'm not a scientist. But the plant grows to resemble where it was grafted. So your growth ought to resemble, ought to bear the features, ought to show who is in you. And on the basis of this, when you see something in your life that is not depicting that, you can go to God and tell God, this is not of you. This is not of Christ. Let there be healing in my life. Why? Because in Christ, there is healing. The scripture says, ABCD. Praise the Lord. You can go to God and trust God for restoration. Why? Because he makes us whole. So you go and pray. There are things when you grow, you know, when you're young in salvation, you start believing God for a number of things, don't you?
But as you grow, there are things you know God will do for you because he's a father. He's your father. And you know you're aligned. And you know this is your inheritance. So you're not praying from a place of hopefulness or stretching your faith, but you're at a place where you know. I don't know if I'm making sense. The word is called Aido. A-I-D-O. From a complete place of knowledge. There are things we might trust God for. But there are things you know without a shadow of doubt. When this happens, this happens. It is not faith. You know. You know. As a child, you know your parents are there to provide for you if they're upright parents and they have the ability. Leave alone those who deal with their children differently. But you know, if I ask for my father, the Bible says, if you ask for your father for bread, will it give you otherwise? So you know, he will give you. So you know he'll give you healing. If you ask for it, why will he give you? Because you're the son. Because you cannot have Christ in you and sickness at the same time. You know. So God wants us to come to the place of knowledge. You know there are some things. If Christ is in you, some things cannot exist. And when you know some things cannot exist, you are at a place where you can stand and decree and declare what you want to see in your life. Bwana asifiwe. Praise the Lord. God is raising us to a place of authority. You can only decree and declare on what you know, and knowing you have the grounds of legality. So I want to remind us today, we are rooted, and when you see the Bible, the verses in Romans, there's a place where it says that if the root is holy, then the plant is holy. Whatever the root is, the plant is. Because the root is feeding the plants. Say amen. Oh, thank you. It's Romans, actually. It says, if the part of the dove offered as first fruit is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are they. So whatever the root is, it determines what the branch bears. Because we are grafted in him, whatever God is affects us to be what he is. And basing and standing on this word, you can say, because God is holy, I am holy. Because God is my healing, I am well. Because, the Bible says, because all principalities, powers, and rulers are under his feet. Because the Bible says that we reign with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, and this. Because God is above these powers, you also decree and declare, I am also above. I have power. Nothing can stand my way because of me being seated with Christ Jesus. When the Bible talks about sitting, it's a place of authority, not necessarily kuketi. So because you are with Christ Jesus at a place of authority, you decree and declare, this is what I have in my life. And you go and exercise it and ensure it comes to pass. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Have you seen many times, for example, when you're prayed for, the enemy can, you live here, you're fine. You get home, you realize you're still feeling bad. Have you ever experienced that? And depending on the level of your faith, at times you can rebuke it, or at times you can contact the man of God again and say, pray for me concerning ABCD. So the desire of God is that even if any negativity shows up concerning what God has said in your life, you will remember you're at a place of authority to rebuke it and to speak to it until it changes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our Father in the Lord says many times, a time is coming, he will not be here throughout. Sindio? And so we have to build our spiritual capacity. We have to build our spiritual man so that that which Christ won for us is enforced in our lives. How is it enforced? With concerning what the Bible says, and then the man of God declares in your life. If you see otherwise, if the enemy tries to do something different for that, you can enforce it. You can say, no, this is what the Bible says. No, this is what I was told. This is what. You enforce it until it comes to pass. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that we are growing into the fullness of Christ Jesus. That is the desire of God, for us to grow into the full stature. Full stature means, I think I told the other day, but in a summary, you are at a place where you operate like Christ. If you rebuke, the thing operates. If you say go, it goes. It does not tell you, siendi, unataka niende wapi. It goes. You will not debate about it. Bwana sifiwe. So this is the fullness of the stature of Christ, the level of authority that God wants us to get. And we get it when we are able to draw from the roots. We're able to draw from the Spirit of God. How healthy a tree is determined by how much nutrients they get from the roots. How healthy a tree is determined by how much the roots can draw. But the Bible says that God gave the Spirit to Jesus Christ without measure. So do you have Christ in you? So the Bible says you have the Spirit of God in you without measure. Say amen. So it's upon you to grow into this thing. It is not about asking God. He is there. Praise the Lord. He is there. So it is for you to draw and draw and pull and pull and pull as you come to the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. That is the desire of God concerning our lives. And this is why when we come and we have worship, worship helps you to draw. Do you know worship helps you to pull? It's not about feeling nice. Worship helps us to, it sharpens that antenna to connect with God. And then it's able to. So this drawing is what is able to make the branches, the trees, the fruits to come forth, to be healthy so that it provides enough food for the people. Praise the Lord. So the desire of God for us today, remember the Bible says that God gave Jesus the Spirit without measure. You have Christ in you, so you have this Spirit of God in you without measure. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you. Sindio? Will you doubt that you have the Spirit of God in you because you don't see him work? No. When he manifests in your life, is that the point that the Spirit of God has come upon your life? Or in your life? No, he's been there, right? He's been there. But there are occasions that he manifests himself. When you pray, when you worship, in many other ways. When he speaks. So I want us to pray this afternoon. I just had a short verse for us to remind us that we are grafted in God. Means you have been cut from here, attached to here. So it is, I am able to bear the fruits of the Spirit of God. I'm able to get my nourishment. I am able to walk in power. I am able to walk in grace. Because I am attached to God. Praise the Lord. And this is just not reserved to ministers only. Tell your neighbor hello. Tell them if you're sleeping, wake up. Are they sleeping? Amegawa mashamba ngapi? So I would like us to pray this afternoon. Like I said, when we have worship, you connect. It's like you plug to electricity. So when you plug, you're able to draw. When you're able to draw, we are drawing different things. You are drawing strength. You are drawing a renewal of your spirit. You are drawing healing. You are drawing restoration. You are drawing the wisdom of God in your life. You are drawing so many things. Are we together? So I want us just to get to a place of prayer so that we can draw. Because we are already grafted in Him. And therefore, the manifestation of my life should be what I see in Christ. If there's anything in my life that I see and I don't like that is not of God, if there's a struggle or whatever it is, I am able to go back to God and say, Lord, I am planted in you. I am grafted in you. I feed from your spirit. I get my everything from you, from your spirit, not from other sources. So let other sources be cut off from my life in Jesus' name. Are we together? Are we together? And as we pray, God begins to align our lives and shape our lives. Can we stand on our feet?